the year 1983. We're in the middle of the post-disco era, where people are trying to make different kind of sound, not to sound like the disco vibes anymore. And every producer was trying to do something that would usher the entire music industry into the new age of making music. James M. Toomey, still a jazz musician and also R&B writer and producer, decided with his team that they were going to do something completely different from what everybody was doing at that particular point. They had an album called Juicy Fruit, and they decided to do something completely unique with the song, so it doesn't sound like the usual vibes and the usual sound of that time, because as at that time we have songs like Thriller still raining out there. And they did Juicy Fruit around 2 a.m. exactly. He came into the studio and brought his guys in, and they did magic on that song. And they didn't know that for years to come, it would be the staple hip-hop instrumental to last for a very long time, even till date. You're welcome to the Sample Access Podcast.
Yes, indeed, episode 10, like we always do. We couldn't be here the last time around, but then episode 10 is back for the Sample Access Podcast. But of course, it sounds like the Sample Access, but there's a lot of throwback. We do a lot of throwback here. We should probably have maybe called it something throwback.
I don't know.
So don't get it twisted when we go back 1983, go to the 60s, 70s. Yes, indeed, the idea is to check out what samples are being done nowadays. So if we find sounds that are still being sampled from old times, yes, it's important that we go back to old times, and it's just fun, why not? Yes, indeed. So yes, episode 10, this is the episode that we feature foreign music. The podcast is mainly about Nigerian sounds, music in the Nigerian space essentially, but once in a while we go to other spaces, might be Latino sounds, might be American sounds, wherever we have noticed some sampling. Yes, indeed, we try to do that here. So today wouldn't be different. We are talking to me.
Yeah, I said him to me. James him to me. That's what I mentioned the first time when I was talking about Juicy Fruit. That is the first song that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So one of the things that came to mind when I heard the name Mtumi, James Mtumi, that's his name.
Yeah.
It's like the name of the band. Why do we have examples of people personalizing a band?
It's just the way it is. It's like thinking
it's
about
like Sade Adu.
Yeah, Sade. Thinking about the 70s too. You have Rufus and Chaka Khan, and that's a band.
Yeah.
Was actually Rufus.
It's called Rufus.
It's actually called Rufus, but it's Rufus and Chaka Khan with an entire band, but called Rufus because Rufus was the one leading. So at that point, when Chaka Khan.
But how do you separate a band that is personalized and a band that is democratic, like fun, like Imagine Dragons, like Maroon 5?
Yeah, those kind of.
We always know that there is one vocalist.
Oh yeah, one vocalist, and sometimes two. I mean,
it can cause fights.
Sometimes two, sometimes three. You see, that's the thing. I think it was just the vibe at that point. You know, a name that just stuck, or a name that is going to stick. That's what it.
I think in this particular case, the man was the leader of
James
the band.
James Intumi was the.
He was the music maker. He was.
The one. I mean, they were active for 13 years.
But there's a vocalist. There's a lady who was the main vocalist. How come she? I don't know. How would she feel?
Chauta Aji's story is so much. I think we're going to get into that. Sometime
part of
in this
conversation.
Episode.
So yeah, let's get to it. On the other part of the podcast, we will talk about. There's another example that fascinates me in particular. Nelson is a man who likes. Who is big on.
I see where this is going.
If you see the way he talks about this Biggie sample, and into me as a band, as a music group. He will do a lot of the talking for this part. But yeah, we have something from Flo Rida.
Yeah,
on the other part
and
of
iPhone
the
65 at some point. We're going to bring that
podcast
in.
So let's get to it. Biggie, what's the title of the song? Juicy.
Yeah, Juicy.
He titled the song Juicy.
Juicy, yeah, I think.
And he sampled Ntume Juicy Fruit.
Yeah,
that was too close. I mean,
yeah. The thing is, this is we're talking about the early days of hip hop sampling. Not too early anymore. Cause not too early. Cause then you think about it, I mean, there have been samples.
That was 93 or when?
Yeah, 94 actually. But okay. Thinking about it, there have been sampling since forever, since 1979, since Fatback Band, they have been sampling. So, but as at that time, it was still early because it was new sound of hip hop. And I think one way or the other, we don't want to talk about it, but Notorious B.I.G. kind of like pioneered that vibe.
In
you understand?
Hip-hop.
That particular vibe, because that song had a particular vibe to it. Juicy is one of the first songs I actually got to know word for word. Thinking about it, for me to know Juicy, almost every word of Juicy, I feel like every person that was before me must have heard that song. That's why I knew it was big in Nigeria. Because I heard it from my bros, you understand, my bigger bros. Then, you know, they just, you know, I remember there's a line they like most. Thursdays were the worst days. Now we sip champagne where we're thirsty.
I can tell a few Nigerian folks
used that line before. So, stuff like that made Juicy big. And then my love for old school music didn't end there. You know, I had to listen to older songs. And then I came across Itume, Juicy Fruit. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. So apparently, he stole this song. Only for me to discover later that even James Itume was in the room when Notorious B.I.G. made Juicy.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in the room.
That's iconic.
That's iconic, yeah.
So we're looking at a particularly, like, Biggie went out to, I'm making this song.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I love this beat.
I love it. I want to personalize it. And at the same time, I want to make it good with the owner of this
sound. Let's just,
and then step it forward. Because in a way, our generation may not have recognized or been able to connect to Itume if it wasn't for Biggie.
Yeah, but like, let's look at it this way. There were about 3-4 songs that had sampled the beat before that time, before 94. I mean, they had started sampling that song from 85 or 86. So 2 years in, it was already so big. I mean, Juicy Fruit sold 1 million records in like 3 months. That's massive. I mean, Juicy Fruit was out around like May. By July, August 1983, they already sold 1 million records. So that's how big it was. It was a hit. So a lot of people already sampled at that point. But the reason why we talk about Notorious B.I.G. Zone so much is the fact that Notorious B.I.G.'s Juicy is the biggest of those samples. Even though we have had recent songs
that sampled,
even like we can hear a derivative of the sound from Aston Martin Music.
Yeah.
There's this Juicy Booty by Chris Brown and Robert Kelly.
All sampled.
Yeah, all sampled.
Itume. Wow.
That sound. So we've heard a lot of people even to recent time, but that remains Juicy from the Notorious B.I.G. remains the biggest for certain reasons, which we are going to get into as we move on.
One of those reasons has to be Biggie's personality. Yeah. He was, perhaps still is, a big icon.
Well, one of the best to ever do it.
In the hip hop, not just his lyrical ability, his posture, his story, in hip hop is very iconic.
That's beautiful.
And he's like a god to most, to a lot of hip hop.
Yeah, and
that's
one of the beautiful things. Obviously, there's always when you have albums and egos, there's always
Ready to Die.
Ready to Death. The ones after his death.
Yeah.
So the aftermath albums, the ones that are later on. But thinking about this, one of the reasons why, when you said the story of Notorious B.I.G., Biggie on his own, B.I.G., Big Papa on his own, the album that this came from, Ready to Die, had a complete set of great sounds, great rap stuff, and that's why Juicy stands out, because
that's
Juicy,
the same album that has Big Papa.
Yeah. That was the legendary album. Ready to Die was the, you know, was the epitome, crazy album. No, we can't even talk about it. That's why I just want us to just, you know, let's talk about Juicy so that we don't stretch out too much. Juicy now tells his story about how his humble beginnings to the point where he was at that time, 94. And you know, there's this, you know, whole story about, it's just the perfect story for anybody that is trying to, that's on the come up. I mean, you listen to Biggie on Juicy and you're like, yeah, I can do this. You know, I used to remember when I used
motivation.
To sardines for dinner. You know, there are so many lines I remember from that song that, you know, just thinking about those lines, you know, it motivates you. And then thinking about the fact that it's not even a mirror image of the original song. I mean, we're talking about Post Disco era 1983. Nobody was listening to rap as much as 90. We're talking about this time, everybody was doing Post Disco. So your album had to be heavily pop disco, Post Disco. And then Itume comes up with Boo. I'm very sure as at that point people are like, wait up, what's this?
And something about it when we were listening before we came on, the song Itume made with that beat was not called hip hop at the time.
You can't even call it hip hop.
It wasn't hip hop. It wasn't rap.
Nothing.
It was just a song.
R&B flexing.
Let's talk about that era. What was happening in the music climate across, you know, America?
1983, 1984, 1985 were big years for music. Because, especially in 1983, 1983 was the middle of the post-disco era. You know, we left disco 1979 1980 1981 1982 1983 1984 1985. Those years we're trying new stuff, you know, but we don't want to sound too disco, but we're still disco, but we're saying this is Jivey sound. So we had Comeback Lover 1981, we had songs biting off from 1979, Off the Wall, Michael Jackson, you know, 1980 we had Stephen Mills coming up with sounds. Then we had 1982 where the Thriller album was being recorded. Now you knew that was a change. Rod Temperton was doing madness at that time.
Beat It was
writing here. Music 1982
Beat It,
yeah. So yeah, we, you know, there was a real sound. We had the Bobby Caldwell, the Billy Joel, the guys were coming up
was
then.
Lakeside around, no?
Of course, Lakeside was around. Lakeside is 81. Lakeside was before 70. Lakeside was proper disco band. Mm. They were proper disco band. And then they came in 81 with Fantastic Voyage. That was mad. That became
but what, crazy. What was the prominent sound of the time?
And that's the thing, it's jive music, but post-disco. They don't call it disco because they are digressed completely from the rah-rah sound of disco.
Let's say post-disco or disco was the major sound.
Yeah,
post-disco. What were the other guys? Were they...
They were doing blues.
There was blues in the background.
There was the Gladys
Knight.
Yeah. Gladys Knight was still around. Aretha Franklin was still around. In that time, very much around. Mm. And we had... R&B was taking a new... That's what...
The Whispers, where were they?
Yeah, the Whispers were around. Yeah, Shalama. Talk about Shalama. Mm. We talk about... I'm trying to remember New Shoes. Mm. Now, New Shoes would help you depict what 80s sound sounds like. If you listen to a complete New Shoes album, they would move from disco, post-disco, electronic, and then falling sound. Mm. So New Shoes was like the perfect band, you know, talking about stuff like that in the 80s. And then Ntume Uchu was coming up, having R&B. You know, Ntume came up from Miles Davis. Ntume is not a small man in this business. Mm. He's a big man, OG before IG, you know.
OG before disco.
1971 to 1975, he was prominent part of Miles Davis' band. And anybody that knows Miles Davis knew Miles Davis was a madman for a jazz musician. So as at that point, Ntume already had learnings, he had teachings from the best of the best.
Before we continue, I watched an Ntume interview, the Breakfast Club interview, where he talked about being a jazz artist,
yeah,
a jazz musician. I just wonder, I put it in this era where we talked about Olamide,
yeah,
hip hop, but getting influences from R&B
from every side,
from Wasiu Ayinde,
yeah, from Fuji,
being a student of every sound.
That's the way it should be.
I could compare that to, you know, that set Ntume becoming that, starting as a jazz musician,
yeah,
being in a band,
and then transitioning,
and creating a sound,
yeah,
that he didn't know would eventually become the bedrock
hip-hop,
of hip hop music.
Yeah, we can't call it the bedrock of hip hop music.
Not the bedrock, but
people like to say disco is the bedrock of hip hop music, but we would be crazy not to acknowledge the fact that that particular sound that was made on that particular day by James Ntume and his band became a staple sound for hip hop, even till date. There's still, I'm only thinking about a couple of songs that are heavy, Warren G's stuff, and you know, there's this sound, Ntume's Juicy Fruit. Thinking about the big difference in Juicy Fruit and Juicy, you'll remember that the Juicy beat sounds more rough. The Juicy Fruit beat sounds very clean. Mm. Obviously, because, and I don't know whether you know this, but Juicy Fruit, the beat, all you hear in the beats were done, you know, straight up like band doing
recorded
stuff.
Manually.
Recorded, yeah. All the bands played that stuff together. The only part that, even up to the electric piano, that you could hear, dun, 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 yeah, everything was played in the studio, recorded. There was nothing electronic, everything was pure. Just, and then in the Juicy song, they tried to make it rough because it was still the gangster era time, you know. I mean, 94, when we had 95, everybody was sounding like, you know, they wanted to beat somebody up or, you know, mess up or you get shot or something. And that's why they had to make it rough, because that was when rap was becoming rough, and they had to have a sound. When you listen to Juicy, it doesn't sound so clean,
yeah,
like Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
And then you are thinking, come on, this is like 13 years, shouldn't the beat get better? Or shouldn't the sound get better? But no, it's because rap, as at that time, had to sound rough. Mm. And the story behind both songs, as I said earlier, it's not even the same thing. Because, you know, the first song is R&B. Now, just so you know, Juicy Fruit was almost pure vibes. They had to call Tabata Aji. She was the singer in Ntume. And Tabata Aji, she's known for I don't know whether I've told you about Cedar Garrett before. Cedar Garrett, when you know Don't Look Any Further, that was sampled by Tupac in Hit Them Up. That song, you remember Hit Them Up?
Yeah, of course.
I ain't got no money, but you know, that sound. Mm-hmm. That part, you know, that song is a sample of Don't Look Any Further by Dennis Edwards and Cedar Garrett. Now, Cedar Garrett, she's the queen of backup. Mm-hmm. You can't think of any big artist she has done a backup session with a person. Same thing with Tata Aji. Tata Aji was everywhere. She made her money doing backup sessions, singing as
a lead in Mtume. So I'm guessing Mtume recruited her, so to speak,
to sing. She was already part of the band at that time. You know,
yeah, I'm guessing she was 97. She came into the band. She was acquired, so to speak.
Yeah.
Whenever she was.
Yeah, as at that time.
To do that role of, you know.
Yeah, singing the song. Yeah, yeah. And I remember that at this point, when he told the story, Mtume told the story. He said, they finished making the beat around like 2 a.m. on that day, and Tata Aji, they wanted to do the song. So, you know, there's some songs you just think about from the top of your head and like, we need to finish the song as soon as possible.
Iconic
song. we don't lose that vibe. Mm. So they had to call Tata Aji. She was on a tour with Ruby World, as at that time, that's that English group. And then she came in. Just so you know, I'm very sure maybe this is the first time you're hearing it. Juicy Fruit was taken in one take.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't do it twice. They never did it twice. Wow. Like the entire song, if you listen to Juicy Fruit, it was one take. And funny story, they never wrote the song from beginning to the end.
It was
when she started recording verse one, and Jimmy wrote verse two and passed it on to her. Do you know how weird it was for you? How weird it is for
in a
for
way? I think we can tell. Maybe now that I know, I can tell why. I don't know. This might be, I don't know, but I can tell that it doesn't sound extremely edited, extremely
it's not too worked on.
It's not too,
it's just basic,
too serious. Yeah, because nowadays, you know, people do editing, a lot of digital mixing, it was just simple but still sophisticated in a way.
And you know, Tawata Aji, even today she still says that she felt she could have done the song a whole lot better because she felt her voice was dry while she was singing the song. And if you hear
and then
song,
the content of the song was just vibes, freestyle.
I mean, like, I know at some point, because there was the Wrigley's Juicy Fruit, as at that time was big in the 80s. Wrigley's Juicy Fruit was already out since like 1885 or so. And as at that point, they were still making, you know, Big Box. I don't think they're as big anymore. Mm. Big Box as at that time. So people thought, you know, Juicy Fruit was Juicy Fruit of the Wrigley's. So Wrigley's actually took Mtume to court. Mm. Say, yeah, you took our stuff and you're making it your own. You didn't ask for permission. And Mtume is like, do you even know what this song is about? And they're like, okay, let's listen. And then he tells them, and they asked him, what's the song about? And he says, oral sex. And they were shocked. And they said, that was where he said, yeah, I've never seen anything.
That person sued Mtume for content.
They didn't get to sue him.
But was it about content? Or the entire song?
Yeah, using our name, Juicy Fruit. Obviously, okay. You know, we're a big brand. Okay. So. Okay. Don't let us mix this up.
I want to be sure that
where exactly are we with this?
I want to be sure that the sound actually belongs to the man who gets the money now.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't play with him too, man. Too, man. He's one of those OGs that would tell you, you know what? You can sample my sound 200 times, but you pay me my money. Let my money be complete too. And that's how it is. And that song, you know, Juicy Fruit, being on Pure Vibes and being the lead song of that album. Mm. They had Yumi and She on that album as well, and that album did numbers. I mean, I said 1 million copies. That's no joke. 1 million physical copies. Remember, this is before the internet era. I'm talking about 1983 years. So for you to sell 1 million copies, you know your stuff was a hit.
And then maybe they had, of course, label. They were on a solid label, I guess.
But like, label wasn't even the... As at this time, in the 80s, you just needed one confirmed label and you just build an umbrella on that, like the Union and umbrella,
Cool
and have your own. Maybe Universal is the main brand and then you're just under them. So there's no cool
so what's no their what's their general impact, Mtume as a group? What's apart from this, if they didn't have this song that became, you know, an iconic hip-hop sample for this era and the last generation, what's their legacy? What do people know about them beyond this?
Well, the group itself didn't do so well, thinking about it. They lasted for 13 years, 1973 to 1986. So it wasn't like, although as at that point we had a lot of bands, even the big boy bands that we know, they didn't last more than 10, 11 years. Because at some point somebody was going to get egotistical and wanted to move or, you know. And James Mtume, as at that point, James Mtume is a music guy. Do you get me? So he's making music. You
he was
know.
Never going to leave music.
Yeah, yeah. There's no. Okay, today this is the end of music for me. No, he's making music.
In fact, he says he's even working with younger producers now.
Yeah, yeah.
Training and learning from them.
Yeah. So like he would continue to make music and. And to me at that point, let's just say this was the turning point for them. I mean, they were an okay group, just like Dynasty. For those who know Dynasty, Dynasty did Day and Night in the 80s. They had lots of numbers in the 80s. They were part of Solar Records at that time. They were good, but not the best, because Dynasty's lineup was so hard. I mean, in Dynasty's Solar Records, they had Whispers. They had Shalama. They had Midnight Star. And then they had Dynasty. So they were down the pecking order, not because they were not good enough, but because other people Whispers were coming from I think MGM or Sony, so obviously coming into a band like record label like Solar Records, they had to be the boss by default. You get what I'm saying? I mean, that's something we understand even to date. You understand? And then they were the leaders, and then Shalama was making a whole lot of money. And then we had Midnight Star had songs that Curious, songs that wet my whistle, songs that would stand the test of time. You listen to them today, they are still fresh. So obviously, Dynasty, even though they were making great music, they were not as popular because the money wasn't getting to them as much. You know now, when you take 1 million a year, 500,000, so it's like 100K that you make. So where does it go to?
Stories like that.
Yeah, stories like that. And that's why M2Me were like too. They were making good music, but they were down the pecking order. They were not the up their band. So, but that's juicy fruit.
That's the only. Their saving grace.
Yeah, and that was it.
I can't mention a song from Shalama or the groups from that era.
Yeah.
That have bounced all the way down to this generation.
Yeah, yeah. Shalama.
So just one thing.
Yeah.
It's like one hit wonders, or maybe not even one
but
hit wonders.
But you can't call M2Me one hit.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying for this generation, an artist like Sonny Neji.
Yeah.
Not to disrespect him.
Sonny Neji has about two songs.
He had solid albums
that are going to be.
Yeah. He had maybe two of that I know of. I'm sure he had like close to four albums or five albums.
Yeah.
Many songs. But there's one song, Goruka, that would always come back.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, it's iconic.
It
has a story. It has a following.
Yeah.
So people would always. Someone in 2030 might just say, I want that particular man to come and perform at my wedding.
Yeah.
So that's why a song like this got. That's why I feel Biggie did a big PR for them, because taking that song and remaking it. Biggie is the most popular sampler of the beat.
Okay, that's good. So, that's the only thing. But I think this song itself is not even the most popular part of the song. It's the beat.
It's the beat.
That beat is iconic. And
it's just
beat,
silly. When it drops, you just know.
That beginning of even by the Justin do K-D-D-D-D-D, most people would listen and be like, I've heard two or three or five or eight songs that use this, and that's why that song is big enough. And then thinking about Notorious B.I.G. Juicy, like we said earlier, talking about his humble beginnings down to the point where, you know, he's getting to be the greatest, and now, you know, you can't call top five without putting Notorious B.I.G. and Juicy has to be one of the best rap songs of all
time.
Can
we talk about that?
No, you know,
it's
that
it's not debatable.
Nah, it's not debatable. Notorious B.I.G. I don't think so. One top. I said top five, I didn't say top two.
I'm looking at top 10.
Any proper rap.
I mean, there was a big argument about this last year. Everybody had
proper, that's the thing.
Everybody had their top 15.
But you can't argue Tupac for certain reasons. Although Tupac makes my top five.
I'm looking at top five right now from you, Biggie, Tupac, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Who is last?
Nas. You can stop me now. so you see.
Fair enough.
That's the fact. But you know, there are people like Warren G that I actually like, that I want to be some. I would like Snoop Dogg to be somewhere too. But you know, we talk about, you know, longevity,
how good they are,
the flow, you know, essentially how great they have been.
How come none of the top five would find a slot in top five?
It's because, you know, they were the pioneers. They had this.
They didn't have the perfect sound.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't say we're actually doing rap. It's like Grandmaster
Flash.
What
about Rakim?
Grandmaster Flash would scratch here and there.
Rakim.
That's what I'm saying. There are a lot of people I would put on that list.
Yeah.
You know, if I was going to do a list, and I'm sure you know this, you know, there's no how Rakim wouldn't be that top five.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably would have missed Jay. For me, I love Jay-Z so much, but I like Rakim better. So I'll put Rakim first. I'll put Tupac second, Notorious B.I.G. third, Nas fourth. Now the fifth one. Now that's going to be a strong fight between Jay-Z and Andre 3000. And that's because
is
that's me.
Tupac, yeah.
Now I've already called Tupac now.
Okay.
Tupac is my second guy.
Fair enough.
Rakim,
so
Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., Nas, then you know.
Everyone agrees Biggie is top five.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah.
Top five everywhere.
Everywhere.
Apart from the song and the albums, what was special about Biggie? There is a particular story about how he rhymes. He seems to be able to rhyme differently than most rappers.
Yeah, he rhymes comfortably.
There is something very sophisticated about the way he aligns this. I think it's this Juicy song.
Yeah.
I watched the lyric breakdown of this song sometime and it was, I don't know. Can you attest to the fact that he's, you know, a sick rhymer?
That's one of the reasons why we think or we accept the fact that Biggie has to be one of the best of all time. Now, everybody wouldn't, you know, vibe with Biggie because I think I've seen Show Them Camps and Ghost say he would pick Nas over Biggie any day because, I mean, he understands Nas better than Biggie.
People have relative stories.
And that's understandable because when you think about it, like someone like me, as I said earlier, I got to know Juicy first. The first rap songs I think from my head that I know from beginning to end, I know Don't Forget About Dre. I remember Juicy. I remember I Hit Them Up.
I remember
Unborn Child, you know, Dear Mama, and then Juice. That's Rakim's Juice. Mm. Hit the Juice. I got more to go around. You know those guys. So all those songs like that. And think when you want to think about the best rappers, you pick up some particular songs. And that's why I said if you call top rap songs of all time, you might actually have a Grandmaster Flash song there. Like top songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about rappers of all time, yeah. I mean, it goes past the songs, it goes past the personality. It's like body of work.
Mm.
That's why body of work comes into play, which is one of the reasons why we always shout about Nigerian artists being greatest and all that and all that.
Before we move on, you know, to play these two songs, where would 50 Cent find a place in any top number?
Shout out to 50 Cent, it's great. 50 Cent released commercially great songs.
Would he be top 20?
But he would make my top 20, but not top 10.
Yeah.
Not even top 15 for certain reasons. I love 50 Cent, by the way.
My top 50 Cent
is a businessman. I like to see him as a rap mogul.
I hope we get to talk 50 Cent at some point. Because there's a lot to say about him. I mean, he's iconic. But then he just ran away at some point. After Baba just left music and then enter movies. From movies,
it is what it is. That's why I said I think he's more of a businessman. You know, even from the early days with G Unit, he was already he was already into a lot of stuff. I want to make the money, G-get. So, and that's cool. But like when you talk about rappers, you know, people that went hard. I mean, Biggie had just two albums before he died, and those albums were everywhere. And you know, Tupac too, the same thing, you know. If you play Unborn Child today, if you play Dear Mama today, this is sound as not as fresh anymore because of how evolved the sound is now. But like, you would know that this is pure energy, great stuff, and this is pure rap. And that's why I think Juicy might just be the best rap song ever.
That's debatable, obviously. So yeah.
I think Juice, which is funny because Rakim's Juice, Notorious B.I.G.'s Juicy, and there's one Jay-Z song I want to remember.
Dead President.
I think Dead President.
Yeah.
Dead President. And I want to think there's one more song. Tupac actually takes two in this. California Love, the remix.
I don't like the sound.
Ah, that sound is.
I can understand the rap. Respect the rap.
Obviously, I'm there for the rap, not the sound, but the rap, obviously. The rap.
I don't like the beat.
California,
like
the
that.
Remix, though, not the original.
Well.
The remix.
Look at what LL Cool J doing it does to me.
Oh, that song
beat
the classic.
Is sick.
Yeah.
The sickness.
Yeah, that's can classic.
I vibe to.
You know they call LL Cool J's doing it dirty rap.
Dirty rap.
Yeah, because that's like porn groove.
But forget the content.
Like the beat. Flow, yeah, beat
but,
flow.
But is there really something like dirty rap?
Yeah, there is. WAP is dirty rap.
Yeah, but rap is rap any which way.
Yeah, but like we like to, you know, we
classify,
are
right?
Yeah, we are the classifying generation. Would want to put one in one.
I know.
Like, yeah.
I know there's mumble rap, but I don't discriminate. I mean, if you're talking about guns and killing, that's
a lot of profanity and
that's some kind of
groove. I think that should be dirty rap.
My thing is
I think Wikipedia agrees with me.
Yeah, Wikipedia is made by regular people like me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just saying that don't classify based on content. If you want to classify based on content, then okay, they call it, there's gangster rap.
Yeah.
So yeah, they talk about people who do gangster. There's mumble rap, blah blah blah. But in any case, I was referring to the beat of that song, because even when I fell in love with the beat, I didn't know it was the instrumental I listened to for years.
Yeah.
Before I heard the actual song, and I was, oh, this came from this, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Before we play those two songs, Mtume, jazz musician, producer.
Yeah. Songwriter, R&B singer.
I wanted to push the evolution of sound into this generation. I mean, I like beats that are made with drum programming.
Yeah.
That sound very sick. There's a particular song by DJ Drama and Lil Wayne that I like. The way he bangs.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of drum programming in Meek Mill Music and some other guys who use. I want to, like, maybe on another episode we can talk about how making music, making sounds became easier or became more sophisticated with this generation, that they can mix all kinds of things together.
You know, I think I've told you this before. I really like original sounds, and that's why I like Juicy Fruit. After I knew Juicy, I appreciated Juicy Fruit the more, because I know Juicy Fruit. I mean, the only thing they added in Juicy Fruit, in Juicy, was hi-hats and some kicks, and they made it rough. Yeah, that's the only thing they did. Made it rough, hi-hats. I'm sure they got the masters, I'm very sure. Mm. Because there's no how they would have done it. And since they had James Mtume in the building, as at the point where they were making that new stuff, that means they had, you know, the masters with them. So that's why they could do something iconic with that bit. I love this song so much. 1983, James Mtume produced the album, obviously. Mm. Jazz musicians, they don't play. Multi-instrumentalists, all of them. And then Notorious B.I.G. Juicy, produced by Diddy, John Combs, and then Polk.
Solid. Let's play the two songs so you can compare. It's pretty obvious. I mean,
this one is too out there.
Too obvious.
Yeah.
But then the stories, the content of the songs are different. So yeah, let's play those two. We'll be back on the Sample Access Podcast, episode number 10.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the world's trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk, Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap, I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carats in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know.
You know very
Welcome back to Sample Access Podcast. You just listened to Mtume, the song titled Juicy Fruit, sampled by Notorious B.I.G. What's his official name?
Christopher Wallace.
No, no, that's his real name. Stage name, Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., titled Juicy. So yeah, Mtume's Juicy Fruit was from 1983, and Notorious B.I.G., Juicy, was from the year 1994, 9 years apart. And like we said, Mtume's Juicy Fruit is still one of the most sampled songs.
9 years, 11 years apart actually.
11 years apart.
83 to 94.
83 to 94, 11 years apart. Much later on the podcast, we should talk about, you know, Aston Martin Music by Rick Ross.
I really think
and many other songs that have sampled Mtume's Juicy Fruit.
About 40 songs I can think of.
Let's get to the second part of the podcast. We have iPhone 65 sampled by Flo Rida. I'm fascinated by Flo Rida's story. I read parts where he had a rough start trying to start his music career. He has become one of the biggest out of Florida.
I don't think there's a genre or something I can place Flo Rida.
Yeah.
The first song I knew from Flo Rida.
I can agree with that.
You agree with me, right?
Yeah. Because
I don't want to be
there and
disrespectful.
There. Because it's actually, there's electronic sound, there's EDM, there's hip hop.
I think let's just say electronic sound. I remember the first song I heard.
Yeah, it does a lot of electronic sound. His most popular song, the songs that we know from Flo Rida.
The most club popular can't ones. Even have Wild me ones. Right now. That's 2010.
Wild Ones.
I remember Low from 2007 featuring T-Pain.
Yeah.
It was on one of these movies, Step Up. I don't know whether, one or two. I think Step Up 2. Low. That's one of the movies that actually pushed that song. I'm sure the song was big before because that's like his first hit.
Yeah.
2007, you know, Low. And he does a lot of sampling.
That's soft work anyways.
Yeah, it's soft work. But I appreciate his ability to make music different. Like the song we're going to talk about today, iPhone 65 doing Blue, that story for Blue is an amazing story. We're going to get to it. And Flo Rida doing Sugar, you could, you know, it's the same sound but completely different messages, like different vibes entirely.
Who was the lady that was featured on that Sugar song?
Winter Gordon.
She's not very popular.
Nah, she was part of the same record label as he was at that point, so the newness, she had not put out a song yet.
She actually killed it.
Yeah, she did. She hadn't put out a song yet. She was new, so they wanted something to, you know, blow her up. And
like,
you know,
there.
Florida is kind of like the hottest guy at the moment. So
I remember I was in Abuja when this song was popping on radio. So.
Wow, you have been everywhere. Do you know what I've talked about? You being in Ekiti, Akure, Abuja,
Lagos,
traveling the cities,
there
bro.
The time I was in Mina. So this was. I need to be sure. What year was Sugar?
2009. But I remember Sugar became.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to remember the songs that were big on radio at this time. There was Somebody Wants to Die, MI Ice Prince, talking about winning the Mamas.
Okay.
Did he win the Mama? Talking about he was going to win, blah, blah, blah. But if it was 2009, I remember J-Lo. There was a particular song that was big. So that song was on radio too. There was Jesse Jags, Timmy Dakolo.
Yeah, Jesse Jags was hitting it at that point.
This is my routine. I wake up, I sit down with radio.
So
this particular song, My Lips Like Sugar, every day. There was Jay-Z, Death of Auto-Tune on TV. I'm not sure what year, but these things are coming to my head right now because I can, you know, this was 09, but these were the songs that I was listening to on radio. Flo Rida, the song was in my... And then I tried to research some parts and I saw that this song was actually big on radio everywhere. I mean, this is the typical radio song. If you try to tune into an online radio station, maybe in the US right now, you hear electronic. That's why we talk about electronic music being the future of music. EDM is like the go-to song for radio.
Yeah.
So when I think he targeted, maybe electronic music is easy for him, but in any ways, a lot of the songs that are big, like featuring the one featuring Sia, Wild Ones, and Sugar, these are electronic sounds. So and then it raps on this sound. So
that's why I don't
find a way to.
That's
to,
why I don't
to
know
blend.
How to. I don't know whether to put him in. I don't know whether to put him in a hip hop. You know, because if you put him in hip hop, you will probably not be fair. Because that means you probably not make.
I mean,
top 100.
He won't be top 100.
Yeah. So
would he be?
Nah,
he
can't
top 100.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do too.
What?
He didn't do so much.
Don't forget
for
the UK guys, oh. That's what I'm saying. That's
and
what
there are Nigerian guys too.
Yeah, our Nigerian guys too.
If not for the way the audience is, the way the market is. I mean, Nigerian sounds would compete easily with a lot of American rappers. I mean, MI, Boogie,
Ghost of SDC. Yeah.
I hate to say that, but let me just say SDC, Show Them Camp.
I think Tech understands.
No, we shouldn't say that. There's a lot of, you know, what's it called now? Disrespect. Not disrespect, but there's a lot of...
For me, I love Tech.
There's a lot of...
I think Ghost is bomb, but I love Tech.
Sidelining.
Oh, yeah,
Tech. A lot of people...
I saw somebody write because that tweet one time.
Apart from...
Like, Ghost of SDC. I'm yeah, like, what?
Apart from the fact that he can rap very well, his voice, ladies particularly discriminate Tech for that.
Yeah.
So there was an interview I saw where Tech says... He was handling the. It's like the they have to the Twitter handle.
Yeah.
The handle that they use.
Yeah,
is handled by Tech. So yeah. A lot of people will DM Show Them Camp the handle.
I see where this is going.
And then the girls will be like, "Are you the one with the thick voice?" And he will say, "No." And that would be the end of the
movie.
So yeah. Apart from the ladies, you know, liking Ghost voice and all that, there's a lot of discrimination. A Ghost of SDC. And there are individual collabs. There is a lot of individual collabs. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just feel we say it too much when we say Ghost of SDC. Show Them Camp is just Show Them Camp. Both of them are sick rappers.
For me, I love Show Them Camp as, you know, a duo.
So the Ghost. What brought this is how many Nigerian rappers can compete on the global stage.
Yeah.
You know, bar for bar, pound for pound, rap for rap, album for album. A lot of our guys.
Don't let us do album for album.
MI
is Baba.
Boogie is a sick rapper.
Boogie,
I mean,
too.
We were listening to Gino. Okay, wasn't you were not here? We're listening to Gino's rap like a few days ago, and we're just looking at Gino. I mean, there were guys who rapped Mode 9.
Yeah.
There is Sauce Kid somewhere. You know, I know a few, you know, Sauce Kid would do very well if he had the same audience as some of these American rappers. Let's not get too out there. So, we were talking about Flo Rida.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that year too. And I think the time I heard this song, because for somebody like myself, I didn't catch up with this song as early as every other person.
Mm.
I think you said you already knew I knew Sugar as at 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2010. You remember the song I used to know that would go along the same time? You know, he has his replay.
He has. Wow. I don't know, but I know I've seen this song, this title in a lot of
places. Got a melody
I
can't get.
I don't know that he has.
I heard that
sounds
song.
Like Jason Derulo.
No, I heard that song. I remember the radio used to punish us with those songs. I'm talking about Radio Lagos, talking about Cool FM, you know, those guys would play this song.
They would overplay.
When did it happen? Like, you would hear the, like,
I think rotation is with something with radio.
The song is good, you play.
Yeah, because
and then Sugar
because
too, you know,
you have an audience
on Friday nights.
You have an audience that you want to please.
Yeah.
So if they say this is a song that everybody, it's like Duduke when Duduke was big.
Yeah.
Every morning on radio, waiting happen.
I know the funny thing, people would call even after they just play the song, okay. Like people will call me and say, "Hello, my name is Stephanie. I like to can you
What's
play?"
Happening? Why did Stephanie come to your house? what has been going on?
My friend Stephanie likes this song like crazy. I'm like, "Yo, shut up." But moving on, you still stuff like that. And you know, like you have people like listening to songs all the time, and that's why Flo Rida's Sugar is one of those songs out of Flo Rida's archive.
Very big.
I like Club Can You Handle Me Right Now. Remember that song was wild. You know the club can't even.
I like
right
round. You
right
spin
now.
My head right round, right
do you know
round. When you go down, when
you know
you
that's a sample.
I could expect that already.
Dead or alive, spin my head round.
Imagine. So Baba just carry this one.
I told you.
Just carry this
samples,
song. Get a producer. Make me a sick EDM beat vibe on it. We have a song. Of course, you clear the samples.
You don't want to do it. Dead or Alive song was very big. It was big in the 80s, like super big. So you can't, you know, those kind of songs are too obvious for you not to clear. Like the one we're talking about, Daddy B. Daddy B was from Euro
Dabba
Pop.
Dabba D.
You know what? The guy said.
Yeah, Eiffel 65. That name is sick because, you know, Eiffel Tower, that's French shit.
Yeah.
and then you make a name out of
it. We had Jeffrey, Morizo, Gabri coming together. That's a trio.
Are they Americans?
No, Italians.
Oh.
But Jeffrey could speak. Jeffrey speaks great, like, American English.
Oh, solid.
And I was still weird because, you know, you think about it, like, why do I know these guys? Okay, there was a documentary that they did, considering how big the song went as at that time.
That's the, like, song, that's the biggest song, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I just went to AudioMac. Yeah. I typed iPhone 65.
And that's what came out.
There was no other iPhone 65 song.
Song with
everything blue. Was Dabba D, titled Blue,
eh?
With different versions. So there were EDM... solid,
yeah,
like,
we have touched that song as much.
Yeah,
the story behind the song, the two songs we're talking about today, the songs that people have been sampling from, Pure Vibes. What happened? Why do I know this story? I just used to, I like researching so that people don't think, what's happening? Was this guy there? So, okay, in 1998, there's something called, I've forgotten all that, yeah, record label now. I think it's Bloom, yeah, I remember, it's Bloom 360. They had this very small studio where they would make music. So, you know, three of them came from different backgrounds, obviously. Jeffrey, no, Jeffrey got picked up on the streets.
Mm.
How weird, you know, once somebody knew somebody that knew somebody.
Mm.
And there's this guy that sings, he's an Italian from Turin. Reason why I remember where they are from is because Juventus FC, the club, is from Turin. So, this guy is from Turin. He speaks good English. So he's like, ah, okay, we're trying to, you know, thrive in the American market. So we're going to need somebody to be able to do something, you know, pure English, so that we can get into the American market. Because obviously, you want to make money in the 90s, you have to get into the American market. We have people like Morizo. Morizo is a great producer, you know, sitting down in front. This one actually knows music. You know, she said, according to what he said, when he started listening to music, he just wanted to learn how to make it, you know, and it was a hobby for him. He played football and also played music, and then he got caught up in the sound, and then met up with this guy. I've forgotten the name of the man exactly that brought them in, say Monroy or something like that. And there's Gabri Ponte that is a DJ, actually still a big DJ to date. People love him a lot. He's one of those EDM DJs before EDM. You get, these guys were big before Black Eyed Peas, before, you know, the EDM guys we know now, David Guetta.
Before
these guys were dead 7-8 years before David Guetta.
What's the timestamp for EDM? When was the official, maybe let's say this was the year when, because disco, there's a lot of disco.
There's a timestamp. We have disco. Disco.
There's
is,
a lot of disco,
disco
in
is
EDM.
Properly documented, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that EDM must have taken something from
yeah,
disco.
Yeah, yeah.
When can we say that name was coined? That
EDM.
You say, okay, let's call this sound electronic.
Do you know during post disco? You know during post disco when the synthesizers came, and that's when they started EDM. EDM started from the 80s actually. You know, we talked about the post disco vibe. One of the things that was birthed from the death of disco was EDM. So during the post disco vibes, people would try, and funny story, people don't know this, but black people started EDM.
Wow,
that's another thing for that day.
But I think it's dominated,
talk about
by whites now.
Earth, Wind and Fire,
Calvin Harris,
Earth, Wind and Fire used to play a
David
lot
Guetta.
Of electronics. Yeah, that's the thing, because music transcends borders, transcends every, like, everywhere. There's no limits, there's no obstacle or something that's holding it down.
Yeah.
There's no hindrance. When it gets there, it's just the white people accommodating the music more. The Earth, Wind & Fire used to play a lot with electronic sound. When you remember Let Us Groove, boom, ding down, gang down, there's this a lot of electronic sounds, and then there are other people too. I wish I could remember all their names right
electric
now.
Electric guitars did a lot in
this. They did a lot. People like, you know, I'm talking about way back, even the Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix sounds, then they had this EDM thing in it, and then it became, you know, proper in the 90s when these white guys started really playing with this sound a lot. So they made this song, and they made it fresh. The song was done in about 2 hours 30 minutes.
Wow.
The beat was made, it was an Aprogio, Aprogio is a music term, so anybody that knows music will understand what I'm saying. Aprogio that was made and was played by Morizo. Morizo Lubana played the Aprogio, and because of their studio, it's one of those studios that you could hear what another person is playing. So Gabri Ponte heard the sound and liked it and came around and be like, what's this? What's going on? What sound are you playing? I was like, this is an Aprogio, and I'm just, you know, playing around with the sound. And immediately he told him, make this beat, make something. And he said in about 2 hours, Morizo said he was done with, you know, they call him Moray now. Was done with the whole setup of the sound. And they needed vocals. Obviously, Jeffrey is studio is upstairs of where they were, and they called him, you know, he's the English guy.
Mm.
So they're like, you know, give us lyrics, beats. Yeah. Give us lyrics. And Jeffrey says in 30 to 40 minutes, he had written three different lyrics to that song. So he said the first one is normal, second one is freaky, third one is just
wild.
Just wild. And the guy said, let's hear the freaky one first. And they heard the freaky one, and he said, the name of the song would be Blue.
Wow.
And he's like, why should
it be
blue?
And they made an iconic song.
So why should it be blue? It doesn't even make sense.
So yeah, Eiffel 65, I've seen a few other songs of theirs. They are essentially an EDM.
Yeah, they
band.
Make your move. Yeah, they have like two songs that are solid.
Yeah.
Know?
All they do is EDM dance music. I want to like talk a bit about, you know, EDM, the culture. Look at Steve Aoki, look at Calvin Harris, David Guetta, the Chainsmokers. These guys are
Don't forget Black Eyed Peas too.
They are making madness. I'm even talking about this generation. Black Eyed Peas.
Well, yeah, because Black Eyed, but you know, I think Black Eyed Peas should be part of this generation too, because
are they?
Black Eyed Peas
started 09. There was a song in 09. I was talking about my Abuja radio experience. We can't forget this song. It was too big.
I don't remember the song
now. I got a feeling.
No, there's this one.
No, this is the one I know.
Tell me your name to the
this is the one I know. I got
I'm
a
the fastest getting strongest.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good
there's
night.
There's another one again.
That song is big.
I got a feeling it's very big.
So what happened to them?
They're still around though.
They broke up in a way.
They didn't break up. Fergie just probably took a detour, like she just
but that was, there was a significant stop, so to speak, to their music.
They have always had significant stops in all their history.
Yeah, okay.
The very first time when Black Eyed Peas started, they had a female black artist in the group.
Person left.
She left. She went on because she didn't want the vibe of music. They brought in the white Fergie. So they have always had that stuff.
We'll get to
don't
that.
Forget they had Ritmo last year. Ritmo
did they sample?
Big.
Of course they sampled.
Ritmo was sampled now. Rhythm of the Night.
Even if they didn't sample, a lot of people sampled that song. I got a feeling.
Yeah. I think Flo Rida sampled I Got a Feeling.
Let's wrap up. We're playing Eiffel 65 Blue, also called Dabba D, sampled by Flo Rida.
Yeah.
Featuring
Winter Gordon
on the song titled Sugar in 2009. It was just 11 years apart.
Yeah, 11 years apart.
Same thing with Biggie.
But thinking about the album, you know, Roots of Overcoming the Struggle, you talked about how Flo Rida started from, you know, almost nothing.
Yeah.
In terms of looking for how to find the sound.
Out.
That's why I'm very proud. I'm very proud of Flo Rida, even though I can't put him in a genre. I think he's one
he
of those artists that, he actually made sure.
Hustled and then he got there.
And sometimes I always thought it was off. I always thought he should do hardcore rap, but he's always doing stuff that, you know, make people
commercial,
happy.
Commercial, dance.
Really cool. So that's the best way, man. Just keep your stuff up.
That's the package for today. Production credits before we go.
All right. So production credits for Eiffel 65. We have Maurizio Lobina, Gabri Ponte, and as you put in, Jeffrey. Jeffrey was part of that production, even though it wasn't part of the main production, but he should be there. Producer for Flo Rida, Sugar, featuring Winter Gordon, DJ Monte from the album Roots, which means Root of Overcoming the Success. And the album for Eiffel 65 is Europop. Notorious B.I.G. Juicy, produced by Diddy, Sean Combs, and Polk, as I said earlier, from the album Ready to Die. And then Mtume, Juicy Fruit 1983. From the album Juicy Fruit.
Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Agbuiga, Adeoya, Agbuiga _ Adeoya.
You can find me on Twitter at NWAENIE capital N and on Instagram at NWAENIE.Nelson. This is the Sample Access Podcast. We out.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world, and all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen.
I'm blue, dabba dee dabba die, 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 dabba dee dabba die. I'm blue, dabba dee dabba die, 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 dabba dee dabba die.
lips like sugar. My lips like sugar. This candy got you sprung. This candy got you sprung. So call me your sugar. So call me your sugar. You love you some. You love you some. I'm sweet like that. I'm sweet like that. I'm sweet like sugar.
Hey, I got a mouth full of cavities. Sweet tooth full of mama like sugar to me. Someone love with a lip, put a bug in the ear. So sure they gotta kiss it in emergencies. Prince prom for the taste. Addicted to a gloss, one smile is way. Baby, I rub it off with my tongue in your face. Under the mistletoe, sipping grandma, yeah, I'm a fan all day. Do me that favor, cause I like your flavor. My man is behavior, I'm into your major. Sweet and so flavor, that's good for this player. My hood now and later, throw back like a pager. Pretty much, you give me a sugar rush. Lil' mama give me high blood pressure when you blush. Lips feel soft as a feather when we touch. Shorty, that's what's up.
My lips like sugar. My lips like sugar. This candy got you sprung.